gave them these perfectly manicured frozen lobsters of all the exact same size.
Was it a cooked. Whole lobster?
Cooked.
Oh, cooked.
So bright red, cooked.
I don't know. I assume it was cooked because it was in the box. I didn't see it. It was like it's mass produced. I don't know what company's making it.
He's Lobster King here. He knows all about lobsters.
I know how to do this whole thing.
You know where the best lobster roll in the city is?
I've never seen that before. Well, I like Luke's up here.
Right, no, Luke's is great. I love
really
Luke's.
Like that one.
But the best lobster roll in the city. Acadia on Wabash between 16th and 18th.
I don't know it. Thank you, sir.
Super expensive.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a good lobster roll. Supposed to be about $95.
No, like the meal is like, I went once. It was like $200-$300 bucks a person. Something ridiculous. It's a 2-star Michelin place. But
that whole thing.
But they have the bar. You can order from the menu. You can order a lobster roll at the bar. Either the main style or the Connecticut style, which is just butter. Would you please take a big pile of lobster, put it in one of your toasted buttered rolls, and then coat it with more butter.
Oh, so there's no aioli at all?
None. Straight up butter.
I would not have known that.
I prefer lobster tube.
that's your spot?
That's my favorite spot for all things lobster.
And you've broken transition.
That was his intent.
He's good at it. I heard you call Tony Gill, my guy Tony Gill, because I'm in for Lawrence Holmes, and that means I get to call him Tony Gill, because also that's his name. I heard you call him Anthony Gill yesterday.
I was really confused.
What is that about?
He was introduced to me many years ago as Anthony.
Really? Many years ago. Yeah,
I thought it was your way of trying to take like proprietary ownership over.
No, it sounds good.
The full name.
Like if he made it to the NBA, you know, if he had
Anthony Gill.
Right. I think that sounds like if you're sort of one of these like energetic scoring off the bench points, like a sixth man. That's probably what he would have been. You know,
if I almost made it to the NBA.
You did?
Yeah. Fun fact. Yeah, Anthony Gill out of Virginia. Almost drafted.
Oh, nearly got it. Oh, nice.
Right. Really cool. Got it. Yeah, you nice. Could actually.
That would have been cool. I don't think there's ever been a Matt Spiegel who got almost drafted in any sport.
No. Like that time Daniel Jacob Bernstein almost made the NFL, right?
That didn't happen.
I've got everybody beat on that one.
Yeah, you do.
Although his post-playing career didn't exactly work out the way he wanted.
Rick Gorman better not throw me any more 0-2 curveballs.
No, it's good.
And you won because he's dead.
And we have a new intern today I'm looking forward to working with. His name is Rod Beck. Really looking forward to working with him. Now, Connor McKnight, you could be like a golfer, right? You could be a Scottish golfer.
James McKnight, I think he's a running back out of USC, got drafted the same year that I would have been drafted into the NFL when I came out of college. I declared for all four drafts on my way out of school.
Joe McKnight.
For a column. Joe McKnight, thank you.
From USC.
James Connor and Joe McKnight.
Of course. McKnight at USC and then a Hard Knocks casualty with the Jets.
Yeah, but I think your name is much more of like welterweight champion.
Connor McKnight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I can see that.
Sure. That's nasty.
If only I could sober up, I'd really have a chance at the belt, that kind of thing.
Yeah, but got like the big Irish cross tattooed on his chest, like Johnny Tapia.
The green flowing robes.
That's also the name of his punch.
Just a tremendous swag as he's walking around.
Sure. A lot of angles, a lot of reach, a lot of length.
And even though he's speaking English, you can't understand a single word he says.
Damn word. Nor do you want to.
But you're pretty sure you have to bleep most of it when you get in for the show the next day. That sounds right.
So it's interesting. Tony asked me a question before. He's like, because this is people are talking about it in these terms. Was shutting down Steven Strasburg worth it in 2012 to end up with these multiple years? But I had to. Here's the thing. It was worth it, and I'll tell you why. Just remember when they shut him down and Scott Boras forced Mike Rizzo to go into a postseason without his ace.
Yes.
Which is insane.
Ludicrous.
That was the level of control over the situation that Scott Boras had. And then, 1 year before he became a free agent, he signed a 7-year extension with the Washington Nationals at $175 million. It was a discount for how good he was at the time. Barely a discount, maybe, but it was a discount. They bought out his final year of arbitration. As it was February, they were planning their arb, and they said, no, let's extend. So Scott Boras didn't push his guy to free agency. That's one of the only guys. Him and Elvis Andrus are like two of the only guys who Boras never did it with. And I am forever convinced that that's your payback Right there. You shut my guy down.
It's an easy conclusion to draw.
Right. You shut my guy down for my guy down to help protect him, because this is what the doctors say. And 4 years later, when it's time for us to, or 5 years later, we'll be nice. We'll be nice. So now, does he do it again? Does he opt out here? Does he opt out and then re-sign with the Nationals right away? Like, how the relationship is really good.
We were talking with Joe Sheehan about that, and it does sound like that. I would bet on the opt out, re-sign with the Nationals.
Wouldn't that make sense?
It would. It really would.
You know what's funny though is we're still basing this in the voodoo science that we have no idea. When you say doctors suggested that, we now know from what's going on with these driveline guys and just a completely upside down view of pitching. It may have had nothing to do with anything.
And we kind of knew it. We kind of knew it then. I remember arguing that then, that like, you have no idea how you can predict it. No, that's absolutely true. But it's still, it's Boris's bidding. It doesn't matter whether
it's true or not. It matters who did what and why.
Doesn't matter. Well, Boris wanted it that way, and Rizzo agreed.
Yeah, no, the only thing he knew is that he can't get hurt if he's not pitching.
Right.
That's what he knew.
And that part's true.
Right.
So it's pretty amazing. Do you know what the terms are, by the way, in his last 4 years? And
I was just looking at
it. It's so weird.
Yeah, they seemed crazy. There was deferred money involved, too. And some of that is to catch up for the tax that they've got to pay on Scherzer's money,
correct.
I think.
Because the learners are wacky, man. And what they do in Washington.
That's a kind way.
Next year, he makes $25 million. Then there's two seasons of $15 million. A piece. It drops down to 15, 15, and then the final year is 45.
It's
million.
It's the poison pill. It's the Omer Ashik poison pill.
The balloon payment at the end. So they may have talked about this. All right, you know what? When it comes time, if everything's going well, you can opt out and we'll restructure, because they don't want 45 mil on the books for that final year.
No
way they want that. They'll still spread it out again. So I'm convinced they're all in cahoots. Boris and Rizzo.
I like watching Steven Strasburg in the sort of full iteration of major league pitcher, the number of outs he's getting with off speed stuff.
Awesome.
And for everything to be said for fastball power curve.
Amen.
And for him to really have figured out some of this to the next level stuff from an all time great arm. It's pretty cool.
That is cool. It's real pitching, and it's the threat of 97. Mm. The constant threat of 97, 98 that you have to be ready for. It just screws up your timing for everything else. They're so good.
How about the fact he doesn't like to be hugged? Did you read about that?
I saw it on the cut sheet. I'm not much of a hugger.
Deadspin kind of looked at it, and they sort of went back and looked at the number of reluctant hugs that he's had. He's not an affectionate, he's not a physically affectionate guy when it comes to his teammates. And he has teammates who are like that.
Oh,
so
sure.
You got to troll him now. Like, now they've got to go out of their way to hold it a beat too long.
Right,
you know, nibble at his earlobe a little bit.
Not when he's pitching. Not when he's pitching. Give that man whatever the hell makes him comfortable when he is pitching. And then we get another one tonight. We get Garrett Cole against the Yankees. Looking forward to talking to Joe Buck later. He's in the midst of his annual MLB playoffs and NFL doubleheader season. It's that weird thing. Last year he did baseball on Tuesday, Wednesday, NFL on Thursday, baseball on Friday, Saturday, and I believe NFL on Sunday last year. This year, they're going to give him game 5 of Yankees Astros off. For the first time, Joe Davis, the kid who will one day replace us all, is...
I called that years ago.
Did you really?
Years ago. I said, this is your next Jim Nance.
Oh, yeah, man.
He just had it. You can tell. Yeah.
And he's still, I think he's 23 years old. He's the embodiment of everything I hate, pretty much, which is the incredibly young, really comfortable, very, very handsome, just entirely too capable broadcaster.
Don't forget nice. That's the problem.
Andy's a nice
guy?
That's ridiculous.
Right, you always presume that somebody like that has to be an a-hole, and you realize, oh, they're really nice, too. Damn it.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, Joe Buck himself has remained incredibly normal.
He tries to works to remain normal. We're kind of friendly now, and he sends me pictures of his kids and stuff. It's crazy. And then I sent him a picture of me with Ruben, and he's like, "Nice hair, a-hole." Like, he's jealous of my hair.
He's been very upfront about
that. Correct, because he doesn't have any hair, doesn't have enough hair, and then he got plugs, which gave him voice problems, which he completely copped to and wrote about in embarrassing fashion.
Do you watch Brockmeyer, the Hank Azaria television show?
I watch watch, you know, sadly, I didn't watch this last season, and I feel shame.
You know, it got a little off the rails and then back on the rails and whatnot. But the Joe Buck the spots Buck in Brockmire have been really good, and he's been really good in them at the same time.
I'm telling Ruben, by the way, about what you did before the show.
What did I do?
You did what, like, a toddler does. You have all this time before the show, and then we're about to go on the air, and you're like, oh, I got to use a bathroom. It's like, it's every kid getting in the car. It's like, well, what were you doing this whole time?
Hey, man, when you get over 45, the urgency, it gets real.
Every good action movie has a ticking clock, man.
It stops at 007.
I know we got guys out there who understand. Not only does the urgency get real, but the flow can get slow. So, like, you're standing there, and it doesn't make any damn sense. Like, I really have to go, and why is it going taking so slow? Why is it going so slow?
It's just if you have all the time in the world, you have to start planning these things out, you know, making sure that it's scheduled. You set a reminder on your phone.
I should put it on my activity scheduling.
Yes.
And, like, must go potty.
Before radio show.
11:45.
But, no, kudos to you, though. You had 2 minutes and 20 seconds, and you were there. You were back. I don't think you went, but...
You went somewhere.
No, I went. I didn't go all the way to the bathroom. I mean,
wash your hands.
Just got to pull up wherever you can.
No, excuse me. May I go to the bathroom first? Of course you may.
Rob Steen over here.
Well, when you hit 60-something, that's a different story.
All right, somebody do the legal ID, for God's sake.
That's your job.
I know. Where is it? Oh, there it is. You're listening to WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station. Men, have a wonderful day. Nice to talk to you. That is Bernstein and McKnight. They are out the door. I am Matt Spiegel. I'm in for Lawrence Holmes. I realized the other night that I had positive Bulls thoughts, and I need help sort of therapizing them either out of me or explaining why it's okay to have them. So Casey Johnson's going to join me at 12:20. I love Casey. He's a good dude. First time talking to him since he moved over to internet world. But he is still as in the know as anybody on that beat. That's for damn sure. And then, as we mentioned, Joe Buck will join us at 1 o'clock. I'm Spiegs. He's Tony Gill. Take it away, Tone.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I want to start with you with the NFL. And, you know, we may have to flesh this out further a little bit later on, but I was watching Jets Cowboys. And here's what should have been the story for me as I'm watching Jets Cowboys. And I was held captive in a house where there was no red zone. And thankfully, Jets Cowboys was a tremendously compelling game. And I got to actually focus on one game for a while. That was fun. But here's what I should have been focused on is the fact that it was a tremendous moment. The Cowboys driving to try and tie the game with a touchdown and 2-point conversion. About 3.5 minutes left. And the clock management was fascinating. Neither team calling timeout, allowing the final drive to define the game. They each had 3 timeouts, but they didn't care. It's like, no, let's not call them. Because the Cowboys wanted to grind the clock down, and after a while, the Jets were like, you know what? I think we're going to stop them. And then, when it was obvious that the Cowboys were probably going to go in for a touchdown when they were on the 2, the Cowboys were the one that stupidly called a timeout instead of forcing the Jets to call them. But, you know, we should have been talking about that. I should have been thinking about how Greg Williams dialed up a safety blitz up the middle with Jamal Adams on that 2-point conversion that failed, saving that specific blitz call with his best player. And Jamal Adams is a beast. His best player for that huge moment. Should have been thinking about that. But no. I was looking at 6 flags on 6 consecutive plays. Insane. And that's the one. Even before this stuff last night with the hands to the face on the Lions twice that shouldn't have been called, it was that I was prepared to come in here and talk about it because the refs, what happened was they couldn't get out of the game. They couldn't get out of their own way. There was a pass interference on the Jets. It was borderline, but I suppose it could have been called. Okay? There was an illegal contact penalty then on the Jets. Borderline, but it made sense to be called. Cowboys didn't accept it because Zeke Elliott had a play. Then there was another pass interference which went down to the Jets 12. 3 in a row on the Jets. And they were all either borderline or should not have been called. And then three straight penalties on the Cowboys because there were makeups. First, there was a hold on Connor Williams. Then Michael Gallup was called for an illegal block on a pick play, which was a terrible call, I thought. Terrible call. But maybe they were trying to do a makeup. That's what it felt like, is that they had gotten themselves involved and then thought that they needed to keep being involved to balance the scales. And before you know it, they've called six penalties on six straight plays and completely destroyed the flow of a very entertaining product. It's a damn shame. But what we have here is the psychology of human beings. And as long as human beings are involved here, it's going to be an issue, and we're always going to end up talking about it. I've been in conversations like this in sports radio for 25 years. Seriously. We'll talk about it a bit later on. I have some thoughts on it. And also want to talk some Cubs as it relates to the Nationals, who, if you're not watching, they're just so damn good. And they have been good for a long while this year, before and in and then after that wild card win. But what makes them special, we'll talk about it a little bit later on. Casey Johnson coming up next on the Bulls and Joe Buck at 1 o'clock. I'm Spiegs in for Lawrence Holmes. Happy to be here. Top of the hour, by the way, was brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Join Northwestern Basketball at the new Welsh Ryan Arena this season. Home opponents include Michigan State, Michigan, and Illinois. Season tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team are on sale now at nusports.com. And this hour, the score is brought to you by Sunrise Chevrolet in Glendale Heights, the bright way to buy. Spiegs in for Lawrence. Back in a moment with you on 670 The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
You've got to fix the blocking. Understand this about David Montgomery. He's got some terrific vision and make you miss, but he shouldn't have to put that on display against the first level of the defense with the spinning and the juking and the daxing and everything that he's supposed to do. He's getting the ball and has nowhere to go.
Now listen to Bernstein and McKnight, 9 to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
This is John Feinstein with the CBS Sports Minute, sponsored by HomeAdvisor. Find top-rated pros for any home project at HomeAdvisor.com. Let's give Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones credit. Unlike his counterpart in Washington, who hides behind Bruce Allen, his mouthpiece posing as a team president, Jones always speaks to the media. He did it again after his team's latest loss, this one to the previously winless New York Jets, the Cowboys' rally being too little too late. They've now gone from 3-0 to 3-3, and speculation about coach Jason Garrett's future is, again, a hot topic. Jones insisted Monday that Garrett's job is safe until season's end. He also said that Garrett isn't solely responsible for the team's problems. It would be nice to hear Jones say, the general manager's job should be in as much jeopardy as the coach's. Of course, he's the GM. So that's not happening. I'm John Feinstein.
Live from State Farm, we have Sharon Flavisham, IT manager, attempting the 47th of her 100 acts of good. Today's good deed, she will attempt to escort a little old lady across the road. Hands held, elbows interlocked. Steady. And they're across.
It's on the board.
Bravo, Sharon, and bravo to all State Farm employees challenging themselves to get on the board with 100 acts of good. See their stories at neighborhoodofgood.com.
Well, the free app.
Home Advisor.
Prepare your vehicle for the weather ahead during Superstart Battery Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase a Superstart battery and get up to a $25 gift card after mail-in rebate. Plus, great deals on jumper cables, battery chargers, and more. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 oh.
The toughest part of any plumbing job? The part you don't have. When you need it. But here's the good part. Home Depot Pro Packs. Convenient, large quantity packs of things pros need and always need more of. From push to connect fittings to PEX fittings. Because in the middle of a plumbing job, the last thing you need is to run out of parts. Home Depot Pro Packs. Conveniently bundled for the pro. Conveniently available at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only.
At Capital One, you can open a new savings account in about 5 minutes and earn five times the national average. 5 minutes? That's less time than you spend arguing about how to pronounce GIF.
Wait, GIF or JIF?
Hard G. Less time than you spend trying to stick to your paleo diet.
Resist the carbs. Ooh, brownies.
No brownies. That's about 5 minutes to earn five times the national average savings rate. This is banking reimagined. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Rate comparison based on FDIC national rate. Capital One NA, member FDIC.
Did you know there are over 1,000 podcasts on radio.com? Download the app or head to radio.com to listen to all your favorite national and local podcasts, including your favorite morning shows and radio shows on demand. At the top of the app homepage, click the podcast icon to discover new shows, subscribe, and manage your podcast subscriptions. Go to your app store or radio.com.